This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, it's a beautiful day. I say that because it's the dadgum cold. Oh, my gosh.
Well, the way I see it, just about any day that we're up is a good day. You always say, oh, it's a wonderful day, even if it's not a wonderful day. We're still up. We're still breathing. We're still walking around. We're still doing things, and that makes it a good day. So you're always optimistic about that.
I am. I like to be optimistic. I hate to start the morning and people are down, you know?
Oh, yeah.
As you know, I like to start it with happy. I like to be happy. And then somebody will say something like, you know, your car was just hailed on and bring me right down, you know?
That'll do it.
I mean, you know, tell me something like that. I don't need to hear that.
No.
I need to hear that it's a beautiful world and we're all making money. We're going to all retire wealthy and healthy. And that gets me going for the day.
Well, you know, I tell you what, they always say, you know, if you start the day, even if as soon as you get up, you say it's going to be a great day, everything's going to be wonderful, that it'll set the tone for the whole day. And so I did that for a while. And then, but nothing really, you know, bad happened during the day. And then I did that. And one day, it just seemed like everything went wrong. But I tell you, it didn't bother me like it used to. And I don't know if it's just that I've been getting up saying, oh, it's going to be a wonderful day, blah, 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 and all these positive affirmations. I don't know if that helps set the tone to deal with those things better or what happened. But it seems to have worked. So when you say it's a wonderful day, hopefully that'll start the day off right for everybody.
That's right. And I always say, you know, welcome to my neighborhood, you know, Mr. Rogers.
Well, you're just full of all kinds of positiveness, aren't you?
That's right. I'm always full of it. And, you know, if I can just keep the negative people away from me, it will be a gorgeous day.
Boy, wouldn't that be a special treat? If you can figure out how to do that, you should probably write a book or at least a pamphlet.
You know, my children have for years wanted me to write a book about my experiences in life. They said it would be a number one bestseller, and I always say, no, I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We have had a lot of interesting experiences as a family. It has been.
Well,
you know, it has been interesting.
Yeah, I know over the last several years you've told us a lot of the stories, and some of them are cute, some of them are funny, but they're all entertaining. And so, you know, they're probably right. You probably would make a really interesting book if you would write one.
You know, if we just wrote about the housekeepers that we had when my children were little, that would be the funniest thing you've ever heard.
I mean, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure, there's probably stories in there that would probably reveal family secrets, and oh, my goodness, but it'd be entertaining.
It'd curl your hair. I mean, oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So the bottom line here is, how do I make money? That's the big question. And there's a lot of different ways to make money. You know, you can invest in Wall Street if you want to. A lot of people do. A lot of people have. A lot of people are still doing it, and it's fine. A lot of people are looking for a safer way. Now, obviously, with anything you do, you know, from investments to getting up in the morning to driving to the grocery store to eating a fruit or whatever the case may be, anything you do involves a little bit of risk. And so going into it, there's no magic pill as far as investing. It just doesn't exist. There is not anything that will say, okay, if you do this, then you're going to wake up tomorrow with $10 million and you'll never have to do anything for the rest of your life. That does not exist. So the best thing we can do is get practical, one, get conservative, two, and use our brains and come up with the most I guess conservative way to invest, so that you're minimizing your risk, but you're increasing your gains. And so that's what investing in a life settlement is all about. That is the closest thing that anybody will ever find to that golden nugget. Is that a fairly accurate outlook?
That is, but I thought of something else today that I think is really important.
What's that?
You know, what we ought to be thankful for in our business is that we don't have any exposure to China. Because look at all the people in the market. They're scared to death that the Chinese deal is not going to work. And we don't have to worry about that. You know, we don't have all those risks associated with stock market. Like, if the Chinese don't sign this agreement, the tariffs are going to kick in, and the market's going to drop some more.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
And we don't have that risk. Thank goodness our business is not contingent on tariffs or Chinese or Russians or, you know, any of these foreign things that really affects Americans. And that's something to be thankful for.
That really is. That's a good point, because when you invest in the stock market, we all know what it's like to get up, you know, in the middle of the night, be anxious. You know, you turn on a TV during the day and you've got the little ticker tape going across the bottom and you're wondering, my goodness, do I have anything left? You know, you look up every 3 or 4 minutes. Do I have anything? Is it there? Is something going to crash? Is there a problem coming? And then once you get past that, then you're up in the middle of the night. You're thinking, oh my gosh, did something happened from the last time I looked. You're always checking. You're always on that edge. And that is very, very stressful for a lot of people, especially when you're trying to plan for retirement that way. You do that for, you know, a few weeks, it's stressful. You do it for a couple months, it's really stressful. You do that for years, and it's almost overwhelming. And so that's why, like you say, a life settlement is such a great investment opportunity, because nothing affects it, whether it's the stock market, whether anything happens over in Europe happens, if a meteor comes through the atmosphere and they say, oh my goodness, this is going to happen, nothing will affect, no outside influences affect a life settlement. And I would say, is that probably one of the greatest draws to this type of investment?
I think it is. And another thing that's happening right now out here is they're getting rid of the deadwood, they think. Some people called me this week, and they said, we're 60 years old. They're giving us all a package. He said, and if we don't take it, they'll find a reason to fire us before next January.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, you know, you don't have any security, you know, about making money. Because if they want to get rid of you, they just simply say, here's a package deal, you better take it.
Yeah.
And so then you have to go find another job. Then you have to take your 401k with you. And if you're with us, you know, you don't have all that stress.
Mm-mm.
You know, it doesn't matter what happens to you. People can fire you or not fire you. Your money is safe.
Yeah.
You don't have any exposure.
Yeah, and you know, the great thing is, speaking of 401ks, a lot of people have gone from job to job, or you know, maybe they had a job 20 years ago or 15 years ago at another place, and then they've been over at this other company. Yep. Well, they still have the old 401k over there that maybe they forgot about, just kind of sitting out there. Roll all that over here, invest in a life insurance policy, and then you've got everything cleaned up. You don't have little scattered pieces of investments, or you don't have this account here or that account there, or all of it is nice and streamlined. You know where everything is. It's under that one umbrella. It's nice and clean.
Well, and I have a lot of people, they're always telling me, you know, I forgot that, you know, when I worked for that other company 20 years ago, you know, I had 100,000 of it and I left it there. And of course, they're not going to invest it and make you money if you're not there.
Yeah.
It's just going to sit there. And it may sit there 10 years or 20 if you forget about it.
Yeah.
So that needs to be brought over to us, and we'll, you know, make a reasonable amount of money on it.
I mean, you know, I guess the bottom line here is that if your money isn't making money, then you're almost losing money, you know? So if you've got $100,000 sitting in an account someplace and it's not doing anything, it's just sitting there, well, why not? Because that $100,000 can turn around, you can flip that thing, invest in a life settlement, and you could start making money. Now, we all know the profit that somebody can make on a $100,000 investment, it's substantial. We're not talking about, you know, a couple of crumbs here and there. We're talking about substantial profits.
Well, and that reminds me, you know, we had a gentleman pass away this week. Again, it was a 24-month, so everybody's going to make 24%. And we did this last April. And the man's name is Aquino, A-Q-U-I-N-O. And he had liver disease. He was also an alcoholic. And we bought that policy on April 10th of 18. And we just got word this week that he's passed away.
Wow.
So he lived approximately 12 months. Everybody's going to make 24%. And I'm looking at what people put in. One gentleman has $93,000 in. He's going to get back $115,000.
Wow.
Now, where else in the world can you make that kind of money in 12 months?
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's so easy. It requires no effort on the investor's part. None.
No. And I'm looking at another one. He put in $82,000. He's getting back $101,680.
Wow.
So, you know, if you make 24% in 12 months, I think that's very, very good.
You know, those are the kinds of numbers that really hit home. You know, when you give out those real examples like that, here's what somebody put in, here's what they're getting back, and literally all they did, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not on that side of the process, but from out here, this is what it looks like. Here, Faye, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars, and then you're going to put it in the policy, and then I'm going to wait, and in this case, I'm expecting maybe to go 2 years. Instead, you call me in half the time, or send me an email, and you say, policy has matured. We're going to put this much back into your account. You get your initial back plus this much profit, and that's literally all it is. You invest, you set it, and forget it.
Well, and the other thing was this one had a really low premium. We had escrowed $590 for premium.
Oh.
If it went over, a whole year's premium was $590. I mean, that's unbelievable.
That's pretty low.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that was certainly a cheap deal right there.
Yeah, no doubt.
But the man had two policies, as I said. He was an alcoholic, and he had liver disease, naturally. And he was having to have blood transfusions. And I bought that saying, you know, the guy's 49 years old, and with all this kidney failure due and liver failure, and it's all due to his alcoholism. I said, I think I'll take a chance. I believe it's a good policy. And turns out it was a very good policy.
Yeah. That was a great policy.
A great policy, a great return for those people. And that was certainly worth well doing. And it's people that have been in policies lately. I went back and checked. Everybody was in it. And some of our longtime customers were in this, and they've been in three or four lately.
Mm.
Yes. I looked it up to see who all was in it, and a lot of these people. And one of the people on it is just fixing to have to retire. His company wants to retire him, and he was a little bit worried, but here he is. He's got another policy. He's getting back $93,000 right here.
You know, and that's really how the whole process works. It's a continuous fluid machine, really. You know, you're in, like you said, a couple of these people in three or four policies, and that's the idea, is to be diversified in this type of thing. This is not the type of investment where you come in on Tuesday and then you get a check on Friday and you walk away and you ride off into the sunset. This is part of a strategy. This is part of a plan. But as far as, you know, trying to find the safest plan, the most secure, the most conservative strategy to get to retirement, this is really the best option that we can find out there. And so, yes, you want to be diversified so that, you know, while you may be getting into a new policy, hopefully the idea is over the long term that this all kind of, you know, balances out. hopefully while you're getting into a new policy, shortly after that, another policy will mature. You roll that profit over into another policy, and then while the first policy is maturing, you're going into a second, another policy. And so that's how the whole thing works. You know, it's you're constantly weaving in and out between, you know, getting paid and then reinvesting. And then that's how it really, your wealth can grow exponentially, and it can happen fairly quickly. Now, we don't want to make it sound like it's overnight, but, you know, over a couple of years, you can really grow an awful lot of wealth this way.
You really can. And as I said, and I'd have to go back and check, but all the people since January, most of them have been in at least four policies that have matured.
Mm.
So, you know, they've done really, really well since the first of the year. And, of course, last year we know how well everybody did. And, you know, it all evens out. You may have some that go over, but look how many we've had in the last 2 months have come in early.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we had that 36-month one that came in early. We had the one last week that came in early, and then this one. So if you can have three or four every year early, it will balance everything out, and your profit, you know, is going to remain very good.
Yeah.
And if you can make 24% in 24 months, it's great. But if you make it in 12 months, it's even greater.
Oh, of course. Yeah, because that just means you take the same profit and you can turn around and reinvest it quicker. And so we all know that if you can fit more investments into a specific time period, we'll just say a year, just for example, if you originally go in saying, okay, I'm going to invest in four policies in this 12-month period, all of a sudden a couple of them come in early, now you can take that, the profit from those, put them in other ones, now maybe you can get in six within a 12-month period, maybe seven, who knows? I mean, it all kind of depends, but that's just a general example of why it's so important when these policies come in early. That's why we make such a big deal out of it.
That's right, and we're always as excited as the customer, because I want them to do well, because if they do well, I do well.
Yeah.
And every time they have a policy mature, we're anxious to get it in the bank. And I think I've got five right now that we're waiting on the carriers, and I think two of them will be sending checks, and I think they'll have it in their bank account probably next week. I think two of them will be in the bank account next week. We're still waiting on three or four. We've got the lady in the Philippines that died, and the State Department, when that was sent to them, you know, in order to get the death certificate, they sent it back and couldn't find her. And we looked at it, and they used her birth date rather than the day she died.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so that has to be redone. But little things like that, you know, those things crop up and we just handle it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not any kind of open-ended thing. It's just you do the paperwork that needs to be done, and then boom, you get your money. And it's not like it's not going to happen. It just may be delayed for a few minutes, but in the end, you're going to get your money. And that's really I think that's another aspect of this type of investment that is so appealing to so many people, is that they don't have to worry about not getting their money.
That's right. They know they'll get their principal, they know they'll get their interest, and they know approximately when it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you can make $100,000 a year in interest with us, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's substantial. That's not anything that people can just kind of blow off and ignore and say, well, yeah, I'm not really sure. No, these are real numbers. These are real profits that people are making in investments, and this happens all the time. This is not just we're pulling out one rare instance. No, this is fairly, this is constant. This is steady. This is probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is probably the most conservative investment that you can have that's available anywhere.
Well, it's awfully conservative because, first of all, it's just a life insurance policy. It's nothing exotic. It's something we all know and understand. That's what makes it easier to understand the investment, because it's a life insurance policy, and everybody has life insurance. And then they all understand that if somebody gets cancer, they have to sell their policy in order for the treatment, because the treatment is so much. Let me tell you something. My daughter-in-law's had surgery this week. She had all these really bad back issues. And I was curious what it might cost. Of course, we have group insurance at the office. But I figured it was, you know, probably $200,000. They said that back surgery will run $500,000 to $600,000.
Wow.
Now, did you know it was that much?
I had no idea.
One surgery was 9 hours, and the other one was 3 on her back.
Wow. That's expensive.
$500,000 to $600,000.
Wow. That's...
Now then, as you know, I have a relationship with UT Southwest. I sent her down there, and they said, we can do it for $50,000, but the insurance company will not pay. Now, that just blew my mind.
Wow.
Yeah. Because there's is experimental surgery, and so the insurance company won't pay for it.
Wow, so that's all out of pocket.
Yeah. In other words, you either have to pay that out of pocket or use your insurance company and pay a lot more. And so everybody wonders why cancer treatment is so expensive.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, one cancer treatment can cost, I mean, we're looking at $100,000 a month, right?
That's exactly what it is. And when they're being aggressive, you know, they're doing all kinds of chemo, they're doing radiation. The ones we're buying lately, I'm reading on it and reading, and they're doing both. They're doing chemo and radiation to try to save their life.
Yeah.
And we have a case pending right now. Well, it's a young mother, and she got breast cancer right after she had her baby.
Mm.
Yeah, she's 34 or 37.
Oh, Lord, that's young.
Yeah, very, very young. And she's doing all kinds of things but doing it wrong.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know how this is going to work out.
Oh, man. And you see, that's the thing. You know, when somebody is diagnosed with cancer, you know, there are several stages that you go through. One, it's the shock, and then it's the denial, and then there's the anger phase. And then once they get past all that, then it's like, okay, now we've got to get down to business. We've worked through the emotional phases. Now we got to get down to business. And then the reality sets in, and it is so expensive. Like we're talking about, you know, $100,000 a month. I mean, so people have to come up with the fastest way to come up with the fastest lump of cash so that they can fight it. And so that's why they're selling their policy. That's a little bit of the general background about how you end up with a policy. It's not like you're going in and taking it from anybody. They need the money. And so they've got to have somebody there to buy it. And the thing is there's a number of different opportunities to buy life insurance policies. You know, we see, you know, ads on TV for, you know, these elderly people that want to sell their policy, they want to go travel. Those are not what you're buying. We know that other companies will buy, you know, cancer stage 1 and 2, sometimes even 3. Those are not what you're buying. There are other people that want to sell their life insurance policy for a number of other reasons. Other companies are there to do that. You're very specific about the policies you buy. And that's why this particular highly specified niche, that's why this is so profitable, right?
That's right. And if we can ever get this other deal off the ground, it'll be even more profitable. You know, we have started to advertise now with Hanford Life Settlements that they will buy your policy direct. No middleman. Cuts out everybody. There's no brokers involved. There's no nothing. And we've just started to advertise that. And I know if we can make that work, and everybody else is making it work, I know we can too. Once we get that thing off the ground and get it rolling like it should, our customers will make more and we will make more when we buy a policy.
And
it's just and it's a new experimental deal.
Is this explain what makes that great? Is that because we're cutting out the middleman?
Yes, we're cutting out all the brokers.
Okay.
Remember, when we buy a policy for someone, the provider is using brokers in between us. And so there may be 2 insurance brokers before it gets to us.
Mm.
So they have to be paid. And you know, they're getting quite a bit of money. I don't know if the owner of the policy knows how much they're getting, but they are. So if we can cut those 2 people out, then our customers will make more because we're going to get it at a lower rate, and we will make more. So that's our goal, and that's why you know, we have that new license with Hanford Life Settlements.
That's great. You know, the great thing about this is that not only are you finding more ways to make money and cut out, you know, overhead so that it's more profitable for investors, but you're also going back and you constantly look at the metrics that you know you've already been through. You're constantly looking at the historicals to see if you know, hey, these policies that we put in place, you know, are they still working? The requirements we have set up, are they still profitable? I guess like the guidelines, these are the self-imposed guidelines, you know, the types of policies you invest in and things like that, things you're looking for, the types of cancer you're you know, buying, things like that. You're constantly going back and looking to make sure, hey, is this particular type of cancer, is it still something that is profitable for our investors, or are there treatments coming along that are extending life expectancies and things like that? So you're always looking at the big picture. You're never just in autopilot mode. You know, you're going back, you're looking at the past historicals, and you went back and looked again recently, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like everything that you've been doing is still on par. The trajectory is still the same. It's still very, very profitable. Is that right?
Yes, I think it is, because, you know, we go back and we restudy everything we've done, and we do this constantly, you know, to see how it's working.
Yeah, and so people can you know, have faith that, you know, hey, we're not dealing with, you know, some outdated data here from 25, 30 years ago. This is all current. These are all current guidelines that you're doing. These are current policies that you're bidding on. And so when people come into this and they know that stage four cancer, we know how deadly it is. We know how expensive it is. We know that this policy is going to mature. It's not like anybody's wondering, well, geez, if the policy matures. No, there's no if involved. It's always a when. And so that's the great thing, is, you know, you're looking at those life expectancies. And the other thing that's, I guess, countering that and just adding to the profitability is that you said that the experts are giving these policies longer life expectancies, right? Is that still happening?
Yes, they are. I find that they are longer now than they were. Like if it was 30 months, it's now like 34, 36. And, you know, they change the way their computers acknowledge all this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to change anything as far as us, because we're still going to bid it like we believe it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so
yeah.
The policies haven't changed. No, you're still looking at the same types of policies. You're still looking at the same cancers. As far as what you bid on is still the same. But the great thing here is that now, because you always do, you always shoot for 1% a month. And so now, if a 24-month, and I'm just making up an example here, so stop me if this is inaccurate, but a policy that may have been 24 months, maybe a year ago, they may have given it 24 months. So you go 1%, $24,000, we'll say, for a profit on a $100,000 investment. If it comes in normally at 12 months, okay, you still get the same profit just in half the time. But what happens when you're setting that 1% per month, if that 24 months gets pushed back to, say, 28 or 30, now you're looking at almost a 30% profit, but the policy still is coming in, you know, when it normally would have. So that window between, the window between when it does mature and when it was supposed to mature is getting wider. And what that means is greater profit margins. Is that accurate?
That's right. Because instead of a 28-month policy, if it's now 30 or 34 months, you're going to make just a few percent more.
Yeah.
And it's probably not going to change the months because, you know, I've said this many a time. I love the 30-month ones because they've all come in earlier. Mm-hmm. I've had very few 30-month ones ever go over.
So the profit window.
The ones that went over was the shorter-term ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
when you have a greater profit window, there's more room for, I guess, for, and I hate to use this word, but there's more wiggle room, I guess. You know, so if it does go a little bit later than maybe what somebody might think as far as how early it comes in, you've got some wiggle room to work with.
That's right. And, you know, it'll all average out in the end. That's what I love. And I love it because, you know, whether we make 30% on a policy, 24, or 10.
Yeah.
It'll all work out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that. And, you know, like you say, this, it'll all work out in the end. This is something that people do over time. So, you know, say one policy does go over and, you know, people have to pay a premium. It's nothing to worry about because, you know, odds are, and the metrics show this, you know, the past data shows that over time, it all does balance out. So if some goes over, there's going to be others that will likely come in early. There are others that will come in on time. The whole point of this is what happens over a long-term strategy. And that's why this works. So if anybody comes in and says, hey, I'm going to do one policy, and let's just say, for example, the first policy goes over by a couple of months, they pay a couple months premium, there's no reason to panic. There's no reason to worry. I mean, still, and I guess... Hang on, Faye, we should probably qualify that. When we say that it goes over and they may have to pay a premium, it's not like their profit is wiped out. It's not like they're losing money or anything like that. So that's important to establish as well. I don't think we make a big enough deal about that. We talk about policies going over, and I know it's different with every policy, but just throw out some example numbers. Say a policy does go over. What are we talking about? And I know it varies greatly, but what are we talking about for premiums? How much are people going to have to pay?
Well, the most I've seen lately, I just did a new policy. Mm-hmm. And if it goes over, which I don't think it will, the premiums could be $1,300 a year.
Oh.
And so I put my biggest clients in there because they can afford $1,300 if it goes over. And I ask them, is $1,300 too much? No, we can handle that. Okay, our smallest one has been $12 per person.
Wow.
Yes, a client reminded me of that when she and I were talking about the new policy she's going in. She said, well, Faye, this is $1,300. I said, you know, the likelihood you would not have to pay it, but is it too much? No. And I said, well, I said, the smallest one I know about is $47. She said, no. I just got a bill for $11. So now $11 is cheap, folks.
Yeah.
So somewhere between $11 and $1,300 could be your premium.
So if you're looking at a 24% profit on a $100,000 investment, you're looking at $24,000 profit. If you got to pay $11, or even if you had to pay $1,000, you're still looking at massive profits. So even when it goes over, and I know we say that a lot, you know, the policy may go over, you're still looking at really, really good profits. It's not like everything's gone away. And that's important to keep in mind as well. It's all about the perspective.
That's right. And we have to pay premiums sometimes. And sometimes the premiums go on a long time. And then once in a while, we have some premiums have gone away because they had that little rider. And if they ever have that rider, it says, if you become ill or incapacitated, we'll pay it for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow.
And we bought some like that, and we loved it because there was no premium ever.
Wow, now that's really cool.
It is cool. And we're bidding a policy right now that the premium, it's $1 million. The premium on $1 million is $1,235.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's like 0.12, folks.
Wow.
0.12.
Profit margins on that are insane.
I know, because, you know, it doesn't matter if it lasted two extra years, three. You're not going to pay enough to even notice it. It's like paying for stamps. It's so cheap.
It's like paying for stamps. That's a good perspective. It's very well put. Well put.
That's right. So, you know, that is your biggest risk. We don't go over that sometimes, but the biggest risk is if your policy goes over and you have to pay some premium. Remember, almost 90% of our customers are accredited, so they can afford it, and we know that going in. And, you know, we check the premium on every policy we bid, and we make sure it's not real high. If it is, we pass.
Mm-hmm.
Used to, we would do a 3%, 3.5%. And lots of times now, we don't even do that.
Yeah.
Because it's so important what that premium cost.
Yeah. Wow.
Sometimes it's a great policy, but the premiums are too high and we can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, if the profit margin isn't there, you're not going to even worry about it. You're just going to pass it by. You're going to decline that one.
That's right. And then when we find these good ones, like the one we're bidding right now, we get excited. We say, oh, yes, we want that thing. We're going to bid it and try to get it from everybody else that's bidding it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it. As I said, lots of times they are paid up or they're paid for several years ahead, and I like that too. And then we also check, is it universal life? Universal is always higher premiums. Or is it a term for 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another thing. This one is a term for 30 years, what I'm talking about.
Wow.
And if it's term for 30 years, we're covered. It doesn't matter what happens. You know?
Yeah, and I guess that's, you know, there's so much about a life settlement investment that there's so many things about this that are not only profitable, but they're so attractive. They're so, I guess there's so many different levels of this that puts people's minds at ease. It helps their anxiety. They know that, you know, these things are in place. You know, you're looking at stage four. So those are the only policies you bid on. So we know that is oftentimes a terminal condition. You're looking at, you know, the fact that, you know, the premiums are so low. If something does go over, it takes a very small percentage of the profit to say. You're still making a profit on it, regardless of what happens. You know, we're talking about, you know, life insurance companies that are A-rated. So we know that that stability level is there. It's just, is there anything, what's the downside of this, Faye? Because there's so much positive involved with a life settlement. Where's the downside?
Well, the downside is always the premium. It's always if it goes over. Let's say it's not even the premium we worry about. Psychologically, if it goes over, how's it going to affect you? You know, you have to be prepared for that, to know that if it goes over, yes, I've got to wait another year or 6 months. But it's not a big deal. If it's an IRA, you couldn't take it out anyway, mm-hmm. and you were going to just roll it over anyway, so it's not going to hurt you any. So you have to think about those things. The second thing is it's not liquid during that time. If you need it to be liquid at all times, it's the wrong investment. Because during that time, it's not liquid, and it only becomes liquid every time the policy matures and the cash goes back in your account. Then the third thing is if a life insurance company ever went under, and we've never had one in Texas go under, and we know that they're so valuable, if they get in bad shape, somebody will buy them quick.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
because
just too
of
much
that
money.
Premium income. They have $100 million in premium income.
Wow.
I mean, we should all own a life insurance company.
That's bigger
than
banks.
The only bad thing about owning one is the regulations are so strict.
Yeah.
They're so strict, they'll make you pull all your hair out.
Not just some of it, all of it.
All of it. Every single bit. Woo!
All right. So
they have a lot more rules than a bank, okay?
Mm-hmm, yeah. But they also have a lot more money than banks, too.
That's right. They have income a bank would never even have.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, you always bring trivia to the table, whether it's you know, some interesting facts about Texas or some place to visit or something to put on our bucket list. So what's our topic this morning?
Mother's Day.
Of course it's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day tomorrow. And remember, it's the second Sunday in May. Had you ever thought about that? It's always second Sunday in May, and it hasn't changed.
You know, I guess when it comes to just various holidays like this, I just know whenever it's on the calendar, it's time. I don't know.
You know it's time, but you don't know why.
I don't know why. It's always just there.
It started in 1908 in
wow.
America.
Really?
20th century. Now, in Greece is the oldest place, I think. It's one of the oldest places celebrating Mother's Day is in Greece.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yes. Also, in the early 1900s, the railroad, the Northern Pacific, put out a Mother's Day card. I found it. And it was in 1916 that the Northern Pacific did a postcard for Mother's Day. And it's pretty neat looking. And it just says, in honor of the best mother who you ever lived, your mother.
Wow. How neat is that?
It is pretty doggone neat. Now, you and I have no idea what they spend on Mother's Day. What would you think in America is spent on Mother's Day?
I'd say $500 million.
$23 billion. We're in the wrong business. $23
billion. Clearly it's the wrong business. Yeah, we need to get into the Mother's Day business.
Yes. Now, how many dinner reservations for Mother's Day do you think there are?
500 million.
87 million.
Really?
87 million dinner reservations.
That's
every restaurant in the world on Sunday.
Oh, yes.
It's got all this going for it.
Yes. I've started doing some of the Mother's Day celebration that involves public places like restaurants, reservations, anything where everybody else might be. I start doing that on Saturday and then do like the special meal at home or whatever the case may be. Anything that involves not being out, we'll do on Sunday. But everything that involves going to other places, we do on Saturday. So not only do we avoid the crowds, but we also turn it into a two-day celebration, not just one.
Now, see, I was going to say that today. I was going to suggest that people do 2 days for Mothers instead of one.
I mean,
I like the two-day deal. It's a wonderful idea. Oh, and another thing, someone said to me, instead of waking Mother up early, let her sleep in and give her dinner.
Oh.
You know, make her dinner, make her lunch, yes. But let her sleep in.
Yes. Waking mom up early is not a good gift.
It's not a good gift. Now, where do you think the most people go for Mother's Day?
I don't know.
Church.
Oh.
On Mother's Day, more people go to church with their mother than any other time. How about that?
Really? Now, that surprises me. I would never have guessed that.
I didn't either. But they said most people throughout the United States go to church with their mother on Mother's Day. They go and meet them and take them to church.
Huh.
That's pretty neat, isn't it?
That is neat.
Yes, I thought that was very neat.
I would have guessed maybe, obviously, dinner or lunch or brunch. Brunch is a big one.
Brunch is a big one.
Maybe a movie, if mom likes to go to the movie. Maybe doesn't get a lot of time to herself. She may be busy, whatever the case may be. Maybe take her to a movie or a picnic. I don't think I would have ever guessed church.
Well, and you know, I'm always seeing all the gift suggestions for mothers. And we know it's candy. We know it's flowers. But one of them today was watch. Give her a watch. And I'm laughing so hard. I know what they're talking about. It's that new watch that does all this. That it's from Philibit or Apple. And it tells you how many steps you need to have to get to 10,000 steps in a day. It tells you your pulse. It tells you all this.
Oh, yeah.
It's really a nice thing. Everybody's got one.
Yeah.
Except me.
Is that a hint for Mother's Day, or where are you going?
No, I don't want them to tell. I don't want that watch saying, "Faye, get up, start walking." You know? And the alarm goes off and keeps going off till you get up.
Yes. You're just trying to sit at your desk, do some work in some peace and quiet, and that thing will not stop buzzing until you get up and move. So instead,
right.
You start out, you actually get up and you do it for a few minutes, and then you start to outsmart it, and instead of getting up, you just flap your arms in the air for a while.
That's right, and it has a lot of really neat things on it, really does.
Oh, it does, yeah.
But I think that's why their suggestion, a watch, they don't mean a regular watch, they mean a Philibit or an Apple that does all this stuff and tells you all this, gives you all this information during the day, and makes you healthy.
Yes, yes.
It gives your pulse, does everything.
I'm surprised at some of the technology that they have in these watches now. You know, it's just fascinating. You can send a text message from it. You can answer your phone. I remember when we were young, there were cartoons and sci-fi shows where people would answer the phone on their watch. Well, now we're actually doing it. It's so weird.
It's weird that all these people predicted all this, and now it's come true. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And so then you wonder, well, did they get the idea from the cartoon, or was it already there and the cartoon was just kind of like, you know, reflecting reality? You never know.
Probably somebody smart that was doing the cartoon thought, you know, I'll make this, and, you know, it's a joke, but it really came true, you know? you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The worst thing you can do for Mother's Day is forget. Now, I have heard that the number of calls skyrockets on Mother's Day. I heard, and this may be a couple years old, so it may be outdated information now, but I have heard that the most phone calls are made on Mother's Day, and that's above Christmas.
That's exactly
that's above
right.
Thanksgiving.
And everything gets so busy, a lot of calls never go through if it's long distance. It's,
yeah.
You know, all the circuits get busy. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing a person could do. Maybe you could call them on Sunday night or Saturday night, you know, one way or the other, when nobody else is using the phones at night.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Another good idea. And they say, so many flowers are going out. It's just amazing how many million flowers go out. But, of course, Sherry's Berries, you know, we do a lot of business with them during the year. And, you know, they send out all those chocolate-covered strawberries, which are really good.
Mm, those are delicious.
Yes, and I love those and highly recommend them.
Yeah.
I think everybody ought to have them.
Is that another hint for Mother's Day?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to miss out on anything, you know?
Sometimes I'll get the Sherry's Berries and I'll take the chocolate off and set the strawberry down and eat the chocolate and leave the strawberry.
Oh, my God. Wow. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, you know. But those are so good.
Oh, they are.
So
fresh.
Juicy.
Delicious.
And last year, I got a 24-pack of those.
Really?
24.
Did you eat them all?
Well, you know, I have all these little grandkids around.
I knew you shared.
Oh, yeah, I had to share. I didn't want to. But they saw the package when it came in. Oh, yeah. UPS brought it, and they go, "What is that, Mimi?" And I had to tell them. Yeah. Well, they just all had some right then. It didn't matter. But, you know, they didn't last long, I'll just tell you.
I'm sure. Once you open a box of Sherry's Berries, you're they're not going to be here for very long. Everybody wants some of that.
That's right, and they're a top seller.
Yeah, sometimes they're so big you have to eat them with a fork and a knife.
That's right. They are nice, and they are large. You're right about that.
Yeah, so don't forget Mother's Day. Lots of ideas, and that phone call is very, very important because they say that the greatest gift you can give anybody is your time, and to take time out of your busy day to call Mom means more than what we actually think.
Well, and you know what everybody has always told me? That the best thing a child could give them is just their time.
Yeah.
They don't want any gifts, lots of times, anything fancy. If they'll just come and spend a little bit of time with them.
Yep.
And, you know, because everybody's so busy, lots of times they don't even have time to call their mother, much less spend time with her. And they said that one special day, if they come and spend an hour with them or 2 hours, they love it.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people, you know, their mothers are active, so they'll go do something with them and really have fun.
Yeah.
And I recommend that, you know, going and doing something that everybody in the family will enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to give a gift, which is great. Nothing wrong with that at all. Whether it's chocolate or flowers or, you know, like you say, some fancy technology watch or whatever the case may be, those are all great. But if you go do something, you're creating a special memory, and that'll last forever, and that means more. It's more sentimental. It's more thoughtful, really, because, again, it comes down to giving your time and making memories and things like that. Those also mean more than what we know, too.
Oh, and the pictures. Don't forget the pictures.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh, that is so important.
Yes.
We haven't ever talked about pictures, and that's really important.
Yeah, you've got to have the pictures.
You got to have the pictures, and don't end up wearing the same thing you wore last year.
So in other words, go back and consult last year's pictures before you proceed this year.
That's exactly right. I just a hint there, you know. Don't do the same thing. Oh, my gosh.
So Mother's Day is tomorrow. Don't forget Mother's Day. Don't miss it, because if you do, you'll be...
It's important.
You'll be the worst child ever. And if you haven't made your dinner reservations, you're probably out of luck.
You're out of luck. Just forget that, because you're not going anywhere. Not anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, exactly. Come up with something special. So, and a happy Mother's Day to you, Faye.
Thank you. Same to your mother. Yeah. Where does your mother live?
She lives in upstate New York.
Well, that's a long way.
It is a very long way. Yeah, yeah.
So, did you send her stuff already?
Oh yes. In fact, I got a text from her yesterday morning that said, "Hey, I got all the stuff in the from the UPS man, and so you know, thank you for sending everything." And so she's already received it. And of course, obviously, I'll be making the phone call tomorrow, and we'll discuss it in more detail. So she's already gotten it.
So she's happy she got it early.
Yes.
Everybody likes early.
Yes.
It's just like on your birthday. If somebody gives you something early, it means a lot because you didn't have to wait.
Well, tomorrow's not guaranteed. You know, why wait? You know, let's enjoy it now.
That's right. Let's get on this and get it done.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And they probably sold out by the end of the day.
You're
there's
probably
no
right.
Telling what all they've got.
Yeah, you probably went over and bought half the store out.
Well, I do love to be there, you know that.
It's your favorite place in the whole world.
If I had some ice cream and just sit down in there and just look at everything.
Oh, doesn't that sound perfect?
It does sound perfect.
Oh, wow. You know, we just talked about something just a second ago, and it crossed my mind. You know, we were talking about how tomorrow is not guaranteed, so go out and enjoy it today. What do you say to people who have that outlook on their money? They don't necessarily, they know about retirement. They see it far off in the distance. They're thinking, oh, I got 10, 15, 20, 30 years until I have to worry about that. I don't need to do it right now. I'm going to go enjoy my money today and not necessarily start growing it and being responsible. What do you say to that person right here, right now in today's culture?
Well, I think that everybody, if you want to be smart, you want to be conservative, and you want to be sure you're going to have this money when you get ready to retire. And as you and I both know, that the stock market right now is really up and down. I mean, look how much it lost this week.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have to think about that. How conservative do I need to be to retire safe, happy, and wealthy?
Mm-hmm.
If you put those three things together, it comes to us, you know?
Yeah. And if
I think it's the best way to go.
If people are thinking to themselves, well, you know, I can either have, you know, enough money for retirement and, you know, really kind of scale back, don't do all the things I want to do now, invest it, and then I'll have a great retirement, or I can blow all my money now and have no retirement. Would you say it's fairly accurate to say that's not true? It's not an either-or situation. You can do
no,
both.
No, it's not. No. It's, you know, your wife will divorce you. You won't have any friends left. I mean, nobody wants you coming around wanting to borrow $10,000, you know, because you have no money.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to take care of your own family. You've got to take care of your wife, your family, and you've got to say, okay, this is what we need to do. You know, we're 40 years old or we're 60 years old. This is how many years we've got left to work. How much money is it going to take, and what do we have? What's our net worth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much money are we going to have at retirement?
Yeah.
And you need to get on it and provide for your family. And your blood pressure will stay low if you do this.
Exactly, because whatever happens is not going to affect it. You can rest assured that your investment is still intact. You're not going to wake up tomorrow. You're not going to lose everything like many people experience in the stock market. And so that's one of the wonderful things about a life settlement. And so the way we get these policies is we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. People who are diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, they have to sell their policy. They need that quick lump sum of money. So you've been on it. You're going through these these policies with a fine-tooth comb. And you have been through so many. You know little things to look for. You know the big things to look for. And so when you're studying these, debating or not, whether this is even a good policy to bid on or not, you study these things with extreme detail. Once you determine this is a good policy, you're bidding against other companies. If you are awarded with it, then you end up with this policy and it becomes an investment for people to put their money in and grow their money. So when somebody comes to you and or you get a policy, whichever the case may be, you have a policy and all of a sudden people are looking at this and they're saying, well, how do I know this is a good deal? The reason they know is, one, those who have been with you for a while know that if you have it, it's a good policy. They just rest assured. They don't have to go through all the documents and look through everything and explain everything and talk about it and think about it. They just know because they've done this for so long. Those who are new, and that's who I really want to focus on for a second, is because you have a lot of new people that are coming to see you. And so when they do, they come see you and they say, Faye, how do I know? You show them something that we used to call page 14. And that is a document that, I mean, it really lays everything out there. What can people find in page 14? How much information is in this invaluable thing?
Well, they need that before they do anything. It's the most important thing of all because it tells them everything about the policy. It tells them who it is, what kind of cancer they've got, what life insurance company is carrying the paper, what their rating is, tells them the face amount of the policy, what they're going to invest, what they're going to make, what their percentage. It gives them everything. And that is the most important page of the whole contract. And as we said, it used to be page 14. Now they've informed me it's in the last five pages of the contract.
So it could be random page.
It could be random page now, but it is at the end. We know that.
All right. So people can rest assured that this is a very well-informed type of investment. They're going to know everything. They're going to know how much the premiums are going to be if it goes over. They're going to know the profit. They're going to know when they can generally expect the policy to mature. They know everything. They know the type of cancer the policy holder has. They know the treatments that they've received. They know the treatments they've not received. Now, that part is not in the report, but you can tell them, okay, look, they decided to go off and do the orange diet in Florida, and they thought, well, all this vitamin C will cure my cancer, and they forego the treatments that we know work. They skip over the chemo. They skip over the radiation in favor of something, I guess for almost a miracle is what they might be doing. So, you know that when people do things like that, it tends to let the cancer progress. And so that means that it's very aggressive at that point. And that's why those types of policies are even better than your standard policy where people have gone through regular treatments. Is that accurate?
That is exactly accurate.
Okay. So people have all this information. They know everything that is about this, the policy holder. They know the ins. They know the outs. Now, the thing to stress here is that you don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to have gone to 12 years of medical school to understand this. All this is very plain English. Anybody can understand it. There's no doctor speak or anything involved with this. So if people are intimidated, oh, geez, I'm not going to know what this means. Don't worry about that. You're there to answer any questions they have, but it's all right out there in the open. So it's a very open type of investment, but you're there at any time, whether it's at the beginning, middle, or the end, to answer any questions, right?
That's exactly right.
So for
we've already studied it, so they don't really have to worry that much.
They don't. I mean, if it's on your desk, it's a good policy. So for somebody who's thinking, okay, this sounds really great for me, what does it take to get accredited to be involved in this program? Because you do have to be accredited.
In order to be accredited, you have to either make $200,000 a year, or with your wife, you have to make $300,000 if you're going to do it that way, if it's a joint account. But if it's an IRA or a 401, you have to be making $200,000, including bonuses, everything you can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or you have, it's an either or, you either have to make $200,000 or you have to be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay.
So it's either or.
Main residence doesn't count, but rental property does.
That's right.
Any other assets, a business that you may own, that also counts?
Yes.
Okay.
Rent property, a ranch, cattle, everything.
So one last question before we start to wrap it up, Faye. How long should somebody be involved? And I know everybody's different. Everybody's situation is different. It depends on, you know, their age, when they want to retire, how many years they have, how much money they want to have or they need to have when they get to retirement. So there's a number of different factors. But on average, how long do you think somebody should be involved in a life settlement type of program to get to where they need to retire? How long? Investment.
Well, you know, I would say 10 years. You know, in other words, after you retire, you just keep going. Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's another thing to point out is that after you do retire, you do keep going because you still need that money coming in. Your regular day-to-day paycheck is not going to be there. So you still need an income source. You need to have revenue coming in all the time. And so even after you retire, this is the type of program that will not take away from your quality of life after retirement. So you don't have to put off a trip to Europe if you want to keep going with the program. You can keep going and people won't miss a beat. There'll not be a difference in their lifestyle. It is designed to handle everything leading up to retirement and then keep going even into the retirement years. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Faye, so for people who want to come see you, do you have some availability for appointments this coming week?
That's right. And Tuesday through Friday.
Okay. And so one last time, for people to call and make an appointment to come see you and get this whole ball rolling, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.